Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 597, Reminiscing Halo 3, recorded live on September 26th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we have finally surpassed the 10-year mark for Halo 3. Yay! Halo 3, probably the worst multiplayer experience for me in any Halo game whatsoever.
I think that's pretty much straight across the board for most everybody.
Except if you go to the pro players, there's a lot of people that really thought and really felt that Halo 3 was the pinnacle of Halo 3 competitive multiplayer. But it is something of a certain dislike for me, just because, and like, I admit I'm not great at Halo in general. I'm good at some things and not good at other things, but Halo 3's aiming system compared to every other Halo game feels completely weird.
Oh, yeah.
And I've talked to other people, too, and I think more people agree with me than not, at least from the people I've talked to, but there's some people that don't feel that it's always the case, but I think more times than not, especially when I talked about with people at PAX, there are quite a few people that at least admitted that the Halo 3 aiming mechanisms were significantly different than any other Halo game that's been out there.
Oh, yeah. I will agree with that. I'm not a big fan of the Halo 3 aiming system. It doesn't work.
And I was hoping when MCC came out, they would actually fix it in there. They didn't.
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
But they did say that they were bringing the games to Xbox One just as they played on Xbox 360 and Xbox. So
that's true.
I guess we can't complain too much.
Yeah. It's like, that was the experience back then, and that's the experience you're going to get. So we can only blame ourselves. But with the 10-year anniversary out, I don't know why people are still disappointed over this, because Xbox 360 platform still supported. There's still a lot of people that play on Halo 3, but people are still really disappointed that there's no anniversary for Halo 3. And we've known for months that there was not going to be an anniversary for Halo 3. And people are still upset about it.
Yeah, there was still that hope that they were just misleading us.
They made it pretty clear. I mean, there's definitely some times where they're like misleading you and trying to like brush things off. But then there are times where they're just like straight dead serious, like, no, this is not happening. And I felt that they did a pretty good job of saying, no, this is not happening. Don't expect this. And yet people were expecting it. It's like, really? They made it obviously clear that it was not happening.
Yeah. With what the statements they've made, I did not expect it at all. Especially not with everything else they're going through right now. You know, launching Awakening the Nightmare, the 4K update for Halo 5. And working on Halo 6 as well. At least I hope they're working on it.
They are.
Yeah. And all the projects they've got going right now, I really don't want them to get distracted with an anniversary game. And, you know, honestly, I don't think I want it. Because, don't get me wrong, I'm glad they did CE and they did Halo 2 with the upgraded graphics and everything, because the graphics in the original games are absolutely horrid. To today's standards.
Right, and it was built on standard definition for Halo CE and Halo 2, but Halo 3 is running 720. In the MCC, it's running 1080 at 60 frames a second.
Correct. And I just don't see a real big benefit to remastering Halo 3, because it still looks great. I mean, even compared to the new games, it still looks great. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, it looks better than Destiny.
That's saying
something. It does. Of course, I've never been impressed with the graphics on that game anyway, but you know, to me, it looks a lot, it looks better than Destiny. Because, you know, you have a game that has, you know, launched in 2017, and all the NPCs still have fish lips.
Really? Is it that
bad? Yeah, just, you know, there's no articulation to the lips at all, which you would expect for a game in 2007. But in 2017, really? You know, there's, I think Halo 3 looks just fine the way it is. I mean, everything is crisp, clean. It looks good. Could it be better? Yeah, it could, but there's no need to. It plays, it looks good just the way it is. Now, if they wanted to go through and fix the aiming system in it, then I'd be okay with it.
Yeah. And the only other thing that really sticks out to me from the MCC version of Halo 3, and really almost, well, and this goes for Halo 4 too, is the text on the screen doesn't upscale correctly. It doesn't use, it scales the font that it was at the smaller resolution up instead of just using a bigger font type or a bigger font size of that type. And it looks just really grainy and edgy, and it makes the HUD look really ugh. Other than that, the graphics of the maps and the weapons and everything, it still looks clean, still looks fresh. I mean, yeah, it's a game that's 10 years old, but it looks pretty good. I mean, it's not a Halo 5 looking good. Compared to some other games that are out there, it's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much. It was so innovative for its time. Considering the amount of power they had with the 360, and, you know, with Halo 4, they showed how much more they could get out of the 360, but
at the sacrifice of despawning a weapon every 10 seconds.
Yeah. You know, you can't go back and pick up a weapon, and I really wish they didn't continue that in Halo 5.
It's not as short as 10 seconds, but it's still annoyingly short.
Well, at least in Halo 3, I can die and go back and pick up my weapon. In Halo 5, about 20% of the time, I can die and go back and pick up my weapon before it despawns. And that just happens to be when I die close to the spawn point. But it's just, I've always enjoyed Halo 3's story. You know, finishing the fight, it was well done, despite what we know about the background of the Halo 2 and Halo 3's development. It's truly amazing that they got that good of a story out. Having the elites work with you in Halo 3 as allies, it was an interesting twist to the series.
Well, kind of continued on that track of you have the Arbiter in Halo 2 that you took part of his story, and now that they're together, you just continue on with the elites. So that was cool to see that kind of continuation of that alliance.
Yeah, I don't know, I maybe would have been cool to see at least one Arbiter mission, but I understand why they didn't do it, because they wanted to tell Earth's story, which is the Master Chief side. So,
and at the time, I think Bungie was kind of thinking this was going to be the wrap-up of the Halo franchise. So they were not intending
on making another game with Master Chief in it. They still had another game to make, but they weren't planning to do one with Master Chief. So, yeah, they were wrapping up his story. And they did it in a way that it was able to be continued, which I do appreciate. There's just so much about the game that I really enjoyed, other than the multiplayer.
And the story was pretty good, too. Granted,
the story was great.
There are certain parts that it's just like you're breezing through a lot with that game, because there's a third of the story in Halo 3 was supposed to be originally in Halo 2. So there's a lot of pieces that they just had to go through really quickly. But it was a touching story. I mean, at the end, you felt for Johnson, you felt for Chief and Cortana, you kind of felt for the Monitor. Like, there was a lot of emotional pull in that game, except for everyone hated Miranda in the third game.
I don't know. You know, I've never really disliked any of the characters except Locke, but you know, they've always had something to add to the story. And when Miranda died, you know, I was sad. Yes, I even like Palmer Confell. Not as much as Brent, but I like Palmer.
I do like Palmer because her character actually fits well with that kind of military mindset. So it made sense. I mean, I can see where it rubbed people the wrong way, but her character was actually well done, except for the first half of Spartan Ops.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of her dialogue was pretty dry. It didn't really show a lot of Palmer. It was basically her reading a report to you and not putting anything of herself into it.
Well, and that's 343's fault for not really writing her as a good character. But later on in the second half of Spartan Ops and through the Spartan Strike and Spartan Assault games, she really developed as a character, and she actually plays a pretty good part in Halo 5.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing with her in Halo 4, there were just so few moments where you got to see her personality. Yeah, it's a cliche line when she first meets the chief, you know, I thought you'd be taller, but still. I mean, you got a Spartan talking to a Spartan. I thought you'd be taller. Because, you know, the mythos around the Spartan 2s was so huge.
Yeah. A lot to live up to.
Yeah, you know.
Thank you.
And that's what that line conveyed to me. But probably the best moments I can think of are campaign moments in Halo 3, especially when I was going for the annual achievement the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That was just crazy. But
those Vidmaster achievements.
You know, the hours spent in campaign on that game, I just, you know, I don't think I've put that much time in a campaign since.
I would agree.
And part of it is the achievements got a lot easier. You know, I don't mind having one or two pain in the butt achievements. It's just when they're all pain in the butts, that's kind of disheartening, and it makes you not want to do it. But
I think another part for me is that everyone was playing Halo 3 that I knew. Halo 3 was still basically uncontested until Call of Duty Modern Warfare came out. And I was in college then, so I had a buttload of free time to do nothing but play Halo. So I played that game over and over and over again.
You know, all my friends, you know, they picked up other games and stuff, but they always came back to Halo. They always came back to Halo 3. You know, they were always there. You know, they'd go for a while, you know, like they'd go to Call of Duty or, you know, they'd go to one of the other games, but they'd always come back to it. And, you know, that's something we miss with the newer games. And, you know, I'm sad to see that happen, but I can understand the people that grew up with Halo. They got lives now. They have families. So, you know, they don't have the time to devote to Xbox. And unfortunately, they're not drawing in new players.
And the game field is so much more saturated with a whole bunch of different games. The genre is saturated within that. And then you have just the saturation across platforms with Xbox, PlayStation, the Switch, and then mobile gaming as well.
Yeah, actually, I saw a study somewhere. Mobile gaming actually outpaces console gaming significantly.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, every day I'm playing Fallout Shelter or some other just like... That was just for that month. Actually, I haven't played Solitaire in a while. But I still need some achievements in there. But those games on mobile, they're like, they're quick 5-10 minute experiences and you're done. Whereas a console game, you're sitting in front of your TV for at least half an hour, if not more. And this time you really have to dedicate to it. And I feel like there's quite a few gamers out there that they just don't have that much time anymore. A lot of the people that really grew up on the early lifespan of Xbox and PlayStation are now grown up and they have lives. And granted, there's the next generation coming up that's playing a lot as well. But the people that were hardcore into the console scene that really jumped on early, they're growing up and they have lives.
Yeah. You know, I have to admit, I don't devote as much time to playing video games as I used to. I mean, it used to be like Halo 3 days. Every night when I came home, I was on the Xbox. You know, playing on the big screen, until it was time to go to bed. Now I'll come home and, I might get on every night, but, I'll only play an hour and a half, and then, I'll go do something else. And, in the earlier days, I didn't really, all I had was broadcast TV, because I couldn't afford cable. So, as far as having a wide variety of things to watch on television, I didn't. I had a crappy computer, so, just browsing the internet was a pain. I did have high speed internet because for Xbox Live, but still it was, just sitting down and browsing YouTube was torturous.
Back in the days of DSL.
You never really had, any other things to do back in those days. Now my life has gotten a lot more complicated, especially, now that I'm getting into actually making videos for YouTube, that tends to eat up a lot more time in my evenings.
It takes up a lot of time. It really does.
Yeah, tonight I spent most of the night just editing video.
Yeah, it's there's not as much free time in the world anymore, it seems like.
I can't stay up until 11, 12 o'clock at night like I used to and still get up early in the morning and go to work. By the way, I'd like to make a shout out. I did get a recording of Achieving Halo done this weekend.
Yay!
We got a return visitor, Convel and Tasman. They've both been on episodes before and brought in another gentleman. His name was Snipe or something. I apologize because I don't remember the rest of his name. I'm sorry, guy. But they were a great bunch of guys, and they helped me get through this last level, or the current level that I'm on. And of course Xbox had to be a pain and not pop the achievements,
of course, because why would Xbox make it easy for you?
I did get the achievements, but they didn't pop up on the screen, so this one you may not see the achievement pops.
Haven't you been having that issue for a few of them?
No, just this one and the last one.
Okay.
And the last one was my fault, because I had, apparently if you have an account signed in, they get the achievement too. Even though they're not playing the game, they'll get the achievement. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a good way to exploit that. Here, let me just sign in 8 accounts at once and I'll get the achievement for everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder if that's a bug. Pins Halo was saying it's Sniper D.
Sniper D. Thank you. And back to Halo 3. Sorry, train of thought. Left the station. Oh.
And now it's back.
Halo 3 was a really good game that I enjoyed very much. It's still, I don't play it as much as I used to, but whenever I do get in it and play the campaign, I really enjoy it. I still stay away from multiplayer. I can't do the multiplayer. My brain can't make that happen.
Yeah. Well, at least there is the Halo 3 throwback playlist now and Halo 5 matchmaking. And that'll be around for a while.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Friday we'll probably jump into it.
I have a feeling that's probably what will happen. And hopefully I'll be around to actually jump in.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah. We're doing our engagement photos at 6, but we should be done and back here by the time we're done taking the pictures. So hopefully we'll be on to play. And hopefully, I haven't checked this yet. But hopefully the Halo 3 Throwback playlist will let you put in a full party of 8.
I doubt it does. They don't have a playlist that'll let you do that. Not even Infection.
You used to do that in Halo 3 and Halo 4, right? There were playlists you could do that.
In Halo 3 and Halo Reach, but not in Halo 4. In Halo 4, they started limiting the playlist.
Why not just let everyone go into full... I mean, I understand there's customs, but why not just let people go in?
Yeah. In Halo 4, you were limited to one team. You know, unless it was Lone Wolf, then you could only queue by yourself. But all right. The team games, you know, it was 4 people, or if you played big team, it was 6 people.
Which I still need some of those Lone Wolf achievements. Those are going to be such a pain to get.
Yeah. I remember doing those. I remembered I was so happy when I got that last one.
I think I still have 3 or 4 to get.
Last one I had to get was an overkill in Free For All.
I got that on my private account. I don't think that I got that on my main account.
Yeah, it was a total random thing. The stars aligned for that achievement. I am not joking. The stars aligned perfectly for this achievement.
I think one of them, isn't it one of them getting a splatter with the mongoose?
Or something? Yeah, that was actually pretty easy.
Okay.
You know, because the mongoose was on every map, you just drove around until you ran over somebody.
Yeah, that's the 2-for-1 laser, because the laser's only on a handful of maps.
Right. That one was a tough one. I managed to get a King of the Hill match on Snowbound. And
there's a laser on Snowbound?
Yeah, there's a laser on Snowbound.
Okay.
And at least on the King of the Hill variant.
Oh, okay.
But the hill spawned right there on the top of that ridge in between the 2 bases. And there were 2 people in there fighting for it. You know, I'd been trying all game. You know, I hadn't spent any time in the hill because I was always out trying to get the Spartan laser and trying to get 2 people lined up. Apparently, they figured out what I was trying to do, and they actually stood it right in line with each other and let me get the kill. I thought that was cool.
See, Halo people are nice.
But going back to that overkill, I was on Guardian in the lift room.
Oh.
And
oh.
I killed somebody coming. I was coming down the ramp towards Gold Lift. Killed somebody. Somebody jumped into the room. Killed them. Somebody jumps in through the window. Stuck them with a grenade. And just as the game ended, I beat down the 4th person.
Nice. I think I got my killing frenzy on Guardian.
Let's see. No, Frenzy, I got, let's see, where did I got that on, was it the Flood map? Is that Isolation?
Yes.
Yeah. I camped up there at the top and just...
Nice.
I did a lot of hiding behind rocks.
That's probably, yeah, because you have a lot of traffic up top, probably during FFA,
well,
which makes
sense.
Well,
no, it wasn't so much the amount of traffic, it was actually kind of a low traffic spot that we only had to deal with 1 person at a time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would just basically move from side to side of the map, camping with the shotgun. Oh, it took
just gonna
me,
crouch
I
here,
don't know.
Bam. How, I'm going to crouch here. Bam.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey,
I had to pay attention to the sniper. You know, whenever the sniper picked up, then I really had to hide, because at least until the sniper was gone or used up. But yeah, that was a pain. But yeah, that overkill, that was my last achievement that finished Halo 3.
Very nice.
And you know, I tried to, you know, do the, you know, match with friends. Everybody selects the playlist at the same time, and I never could get matched up with anybody.
I think I've gotten matched up with maybe one other friend doing that, but yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard
for
to
a lot,
do that.
A lot of the achievements that I was having trouble with, like let's see, get a kill from the grave on such and such map. I got a friend together. We went on, went in matchmaking. No, wait a minute. Yeah, we went in matchmaking because at that you could fill all the spots with, you know, we literally had four controllers turned on all at the same time. We're both playing split screen, four-way split screen, and we're, you know, just cycling through maps, trying to get the map that we want, and going through and getting as many achievements as we can on those maps.
Hey, it's a legitimate strategy.
And the funny thing is we both got banned from Xbox Live. I got banned for 3 days, and he got banned for like a week, I think it was.
For achievement stacking.
Yeah, and this is months before Reach launched.
You probably won't have that problem anymore, but that kind of sucks.
You know, it's an automated system, so it might.
Oh, it is?
As far as I know, it is.
Well, and are you just banned from the matchmaking of that specific game?
I can't tell you because there was only one game I was playing at the time.
Oh.
Which, yeah, it was okay. I took a 3-day break and then I came back and started all over again.
Yay. So, yeah, I have 4 achievements that I do not have on Halo 3. The double kill with the Spartan laser, overkill, Stepping Razor, which is the triple kill with the sword. And then the Mongoose Mowdown. So I still have those 4 achievements to get in Halo 3.
Stepan's Razor, I actually got on the pit.
Yeah, that's probably the place to get that achievement. And I've tried a couple times.
That's another one of those totally random things. I wouldn't quite call it the stars aligned, but I just got lucky.
It's going to be kind of a grind to try to get that done, but at some point I want to get it done.
Well, with Halo 3 being on back compat, at least population will climb.
That's true.
At least for a little while.
Then I think I have all the achievements for Halo 4. I think I have all the achievements for Halo 2 Vista. I'm still missing a few for MCC. And still missing, I think, maybe 3 for Halo 5. I don't have many. I think they're just campaign ones that are left. Yeah, complete. And I don't know why I don't have this yet, but complete every co-op mission on heroic difficulty. I'm missing one mission, apparently. And then destroy the Phantom at the Covenant camp in Reunion on heroic difficulty. And I just have to go in solo and do that.
Let's see.
Apparently only 0.61% of gamers have that achievement unlocked.
I have 4 left in Halo 4. Oh, I have to assassinate the ball carrier in a ricochet game 5 meters from my own goal.
Yeah, we staged that
ricochet.
One.
Let's see.
Definitely staged that one.
Yeah, 3 of them are for ricochet. And the other one is got it.
Which is?
Pick up the rocket launcher at the start on the pitfall.
Oh, yeah. Actually, apparently I don't have the assassinate the Valkyrie within 5 meters of own goal achievement either. I thought I had all the achievements in Halo 4. I guess I don't. I have all the Reach achievements.
Yeah, in Reach, I have 2 left. Assassinated player just exited armor lock. And prevent the team from touching the flag in a match-made one flag CTF game. I tried for like 2 weeks to get that game, or to get that one, and I could not get a one flag game type.
Oh, jeez. And I have 20 achievements in Halo Wars that I don't have. Spartan Assault, I have. I only have 7 out of 28. Spartan Strike, I don't even think I've really played much of yet.
Let's see. In the Master Chief Collection, I have 61 of 79. Yeah. 61 of 79. On the cross game, 81 of 95 on CE, 130 of 157 on Halo 2. Wow. 69 of 89 on Halo 3. I still have most of the ODST ones. And I'm a little over halfway on Halo 4. So I got a long ways to go. How can I not have... I wonder... I have to look and see which ones I need from Halo CE.
CE Anniversary?
Yeah. Well, Master Chief Collection, sorry.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I have a lot from NCC that aren't done yet. Mostly part-time, par scores.
Yeah, there's a lot of achievements in that game, too. That's probably what I need. Yeah, par score, par score, par score. Yeah, yeah. All par scores.
MCC is going to be a grind, especially for playing X amount of multiplayer games. And I think you have to play, what, 1,000 to get that max one?
Oh, yeah, an airborne. Launch a warthog for at least 5 seconds and splatter an enemy.
Holy crap, how do you do that one without setting it up?
Well, most everybody I've seen sets it up. And then, of course, complete legendary campaign in under 3 hours. That one may not ever get done. I'm going to have to really practice my speed running.
We can do it. We can do it. Anyways, out of achievement lane, going back to the Halo 3 stuff, the playlist that is out has a few Forge maps that have been put together by the Forging community and the community cartographers. So the playlist is, I don't know how long it's around for. I know it's going to be around for probably at least 2, maybe 3 weeks. But there is Guardian, Boundless, The Pit, Citadel, Isolation, High Ground, and Ghost Town that are available in the playlist to play. And there are a few different game modes that are paired up with each one. So Guardian has Team Slayer and Oddball. Boundless has Slayer and Multi-Flag. The Pit has Slayer and Multi-Flag. Citadel has all three. Isolation has Slayer and Multi-Flag. High Ground has Slayer and Oddball. And Ghost Town has Slayer and Oddball. And everything has been customized as far as the game mode for this playlist. So the motion tracker range has been increased to 25 meters. There are no Spartan abilities. Player jump height hasn't been increased. There's a slight increase effect on the gravity of players. Player movement speed decreased. Increased player forward and strafe acceleration. Adjusted shield and health recharge rate to approximate Halo 3 values, which to me the recharge rate seems still a little long. And then for the Oddball game mode, they reduced the ball carrier movement speed, and for multi-flag CTF, they reduced the flag carrier movement speed, which I was juggling the flag a lot yesterday. And I mean, it's kind of, I kind of have a little nostalgia over the flab rock flag taken that plagued Halo 3, but it was nice not having
flag taken, flag drop, flag taken, flag drop.
Actually have a t-shirt that says that all the way down the shirt.
Yeah, I got really tired of listening to that.
Every time you watch MLG.
Yeah, I know.
Flag drop, flag taken, flag drop, flag taken, flag taken, flag. And it just like skip every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good memories. Good, fond memories. I do have a couple of times from last night where I was trying to thrust out of the way, like behind a tree or a rock or something, and it's like, wait, this doesn't work.
Why is the button not working?
It's like, oh, wait, I can't do that. There are the 7 maps, so go check them out if you haven't already, or if you feel really nostalgic, just go back and play Halo 3 Back Compat. The population there, I'm sure, is pretty strong right now, and probably will be for the next month.
Probably.
The only map that I actually haven't had a chance to play on yet from my time in the playlist was High Ground. I've been on every other map in the matchmaking playlist except for High Ground.
There always seems to be one map that just doesn't show up that often.
Yeah.
And some nights it's random which map it is.
It's just however lucky you get with the RNG and the server that you're on.
This last Friday, we played some Super Fiesta, and we kept getting, you know, Halo 5 maps, launch maps. But the Friday before, we were just kept playing on, you know, CE maps or classic Halo maps just over and over again. We weren't getting that many new maps. and you know, it's changed from 1 week to the next. It's just weird how that works.
Yeah. The game does what the game does. No doubt about it. I think there's, well, I'm not sure what the population is, but I'm sure there's a lot of people going back to play the Halo 3 stuff. And I know for my experience last night, there are some sweaty kids in that playlist. There are some people that are just going all out nuts.
Oh, yeah.
With how good they are. And I'm like, I can't do this. There were some games last night, it's like, okay, I'm okay here. And then there are other games, it's just like, I have no chance. And
where's a corner I can hide in?
Yeah. And my friend Ace is in the chat. He was there for part of that. And there are some games that we just did really well, and other games that we just fell flat on our faces.
Yeah. He said earlier that you mentioned Pit, and he was triggered.
We had some Pit games that were not very friendly. But then we did have a couple of Pit games that we actually did really well. And it just went back and forth. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you just don't. It was a good time, though. We got to play with him, we got to play with CM Near, who probably hasn't been around on Xbox in a long time. And so it was good to play with him. And then there was, I think, one of his friends that jumped on. We actually played a couple games with Masters from the SPV3 team. That was a lot of fun. And overall, I think I ended up playing 12 matches, maybe a couple more last night.
Yeah.
Then did a couple of games of Warzone and called it a night.
Yeah, I was going to jump in there tonight and play a little, but I got distracted with editing video.
Well, maybe we can cut the podcast a little short and both of us can go play a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think I'm just going to go to bed.
That works too. Halo will be waiting for you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's amazing what the computer screens do for your stamina.
Ah, computer screen. Oh, I feel so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a reason why it's not really good to look at them right before going to bed, because they mess up with your sleep.
They put me to sleep. Everybody keeps saying that, you know, the blue light that comes out of the computer monitor will keep you awake at night. I'm like, no, I've never had that problem.
Consider yourself fortunate then. They did have a live stream yesterday where they actually had Pro Ace Joker doing a speedrun of the campaign, and I think it took him a little under 2 hours to finish on Legendary.
Yeah.
So if you need to do that on MCC, go watch the stream, because he has some nice shortcuts that you can use. There is a couple of, on the article that Sketch wrote regarding the birthday of Halo 3, some team members that did a little bit of reflection on the launch night of the game. So Sketch has a bit of stuff that he shared, including a couple of pictures. Bonnie Ross, Frank O'Connor, Tim Longo, Bravo, Tashi, Tom French, Michael Wolf, Dursky, Strongside, Neighbor, David Ellis. There's a laundry list of people on here. Unishek, Grimm, Jeremy, the list goes on. And then there's some other community people that they pulled statements from as well, and they put those at the bottom. So it's a nice long list of just people reminiscing about the good times in Halo 3. And there's a whole list of videos and promos that there was, which Halo 3, out of all the Halo games, probably had the best promotional campaign ever. There was the Believe campaign.
Yeah, it was definitely the most intense.
Between the Landfall stuff, which, as we discussed when we were looking through the untold story of Halo, was supposed to be stuff for the Halo movie. Then there was the Believe campaign, where they had the, what do you call that?
The diorama?
That thing, yes.
I really wish that was still in one piece.
I know. So here's a challenge for all you people that like to make giant Mega Blocks and Legos builds. Recreate that with Mega Blocks.
Oh, jeez. Maybe you had to suggest that to Mega Blocks for, you know, next year's packs.
That would be a crazy build.
And a Mantis, isn't?
I think more so just from setting up all the figures, it would probably make it a little, because I mean they probably have computer programs that will block all that out and be like, okay, you need this many blocks here and there, well, yada yada yada. But for something like the diorama, with how many pits of water and the variance in terrain and all the different figures that you'd have to have on there with the different weapons and everything, that could take some time.
Yeah, I'm sure it could.
But again, for all you crazy freaking Mega Bloks builders, there's your next challenge. Make the Halo 3 diorama out of the Mega Bloks. Because you'll need a lot of brute pieces, you'll need a lot of marine pieces, a lot of ARs.
May God have mercy on your wallet.
Oh, the Pillar of Autumn costs what? 30,000?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I forget how expensive that thing was.
I never wanted to know. I knew it cost a lot.
Ace is wondering, am I sponsoring this thing? Give me a few years. If I'm a millionaire, then sure.
You heard it here first. Oh.
Yeah, right. So there was Landfall, there was the Believe campaign, then there was Starry Night, which was kind of its own standalone thing. And then all the Vidocs that came with it.
You know, to me, that the media stuff was probably the best part of Halo 3.
And then who remembers the Iris campaign? The ARG.
I missed the ARG.
I was actually I think the second server that opened up was one of the first 100. And for each server that opened up, they were giving away like gift packs to the first 100 people. But at the time I went in there, my account was still marked as a child account. So I couldn't actually redeem the package I was supposed to get.
Oh.
So I'm still a little salty about that. Yeah, I think I was like number 89 on the second server. And I think I tried to download this file somewhere. I had to look through my hard drive and see if I have those things somewhere still. I doubt I do, but I'm sure there's some HBO archive somewhere that actually has those. But it'd be cool to go back and relive some of that again. Because that was the first time we actually got some history into humanity and the Forerunners. And then leading into the Terminals as well that we found in Halo 3. Definitely check out this article, though, if you haven't had a chance to read it already. It's the latest news article that's on Halo Waypoint. A lot of memories to go through. Esports to big title launches to people's first experience with Halo. There's a lot to really pull out of the experiences that we had with Halo 3. And then you have Forge being the first big movement in Halo 3 and look at what that's developed as far as communities over time. Machinima was huge back then and it's unfortunately dwindled off. There was just a lot that got spawned off from Halo 3.
Yeah, Forge, the map, or no, what? How did they bill it? They didn't bill it as a map editor.
I forget.
They had something specific they called it. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, it was. Forge was such a new thing, such a new concept. You know, thousands of people just gravitated towards it and made it, you made that their Halo experience.
And think of all the custom knights there were.
All the different tricks they figured out on how to get the pieces to do what they wanted. You know, playing with spawn times and placing markers and phasing things and...
Well, and then like pushing objects into other objects and then having them spawn on a timer so you can merge objects together. Halo 5 Forge is definitely complex. Halo 3 Forge took some cojones to actually like go through the pain of putting it all together.
Oh yeah. You get pieces that you'd get them placed perfectly, you'd save the map, you'd reopen the map and they'd move. And then you had to start all over again. Because it was always that piece right in the middle.
And it's like, oh, got to delete that and try to put it back in. And then who can forget? Can you has recon?
Oh, yes. The grind for recon.
I did ask that in the stream yesterday. And they did respond to it. I was hoping that they would actually kind of respond more like just the joking. No, you can't have recon. But they were more like, yeah, I think it got unlocked for everybody. Yeah. But apparently there's some technical limitation now that if you didn't get it unlocked by a certain date, that system is no longer there. And I think it's because it was tied to Bungie.net somehow. And I think that the connection is severed.
It was definitely tied into their website. But yeah, I got my recon.
I've got mine.
I wore it once and took it off.
Yeah. Because you're just a marked target, even with camo, you still have the flames there. Not very helpful. I was the person that wore my Mark VI helmet, and the rest of my armor was Hayabusa.
I don't even remember what I had for armor.
And that was back when armor customization was hot off the press.
Yeah, it's really sad a game that's 10 years old has more armor customization than the brand new game.
Well, the brand new game has way too much customization.
Well, that's not what I call customization. That's what I call picking a template.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, customization is when you can modify what's available. You know, with different piece combinations, things like that. You know, you go into Halo 3, and very rarely did you find two Spartans that looked identical. You know, the arms were always different, or the legs were always different, or they had a different chest piece in them, or a different helmet. But, like in Halo 5, I see duplicates all the time. They got different stripes on them, but it's the same armor.
And in Halo 3, it was a lot easier to pick out, oh, I know what armor that is. That's aerosol, or that's EVA, or that's CQB. And nowadays, it's like, I don't know which one armor that is or what.
Yeah, it also told you a lot about the player. Yeah.
Yeah.
The armor was also showing off your accomplishments. You know, well, that guy's finished campaign on Legendary. That guy's done this. That's cool.
Then the service records were a big thing. The stats were a big thing. Bungie favorites was a big thing. There was a lot that Halo 3 brought to the table for the Halo franchise, and there's some stuff I wish they would bring back.
I always liked going in and checking out the people I was playing against.
There's a lot more sense of how do I compare next to the people I'm playing, I think, back then than there is now.
You know, I liked being able to see what rank they were, because then I knew to stay the hell away from that person.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah, I'm glad that the ranking system is the way it is, to where you can't de-rank yourself to the point where you're playing a lot lower class people without actually starting a new account, which that kind of bites, but you know, there's nothing that you can do to stop people from doing that.
Yeah, you're just kind of stuck, unfortunately.
You know, I like being able to go in and see who I was playing against or playing with and inspect their Spartan, look at what armor they had on, look at their stats, see how much they've played the game. And now you can't do that. Not easily.
At least not within the Halo 5 UI on the Xbox.
I mean, after the match, you can go into your friends list and go over to recent players, and then you can go look at them. But no, I want to look at them there in the game.
Yeah, I want to be able to select the profile and be like, okay, this is the entire career summary, I guess, of this player. Hopefully they'll bring some of that back.
Hopefully.
Don't know what they're looking to bring back in Halo 6 as far as features or whatever. There's going to be some new stuff, obviously, because it's a new title, so they need some new stuff in there. But it'd be nice to see some of the stuff that made some of these older games popular, especially Halo 3. Since that's the latest one that's out. What made them great?
All I gotta say is in Halo 6, I better have my Flaming Ninja emblem.
Yeah, and why get rid of some of the old popular emblems? Especially ones from Halo 1 and Halo 2. Those should be de facto in every game. I would almost venture to say Halo 3, But there's just some icons that just need to, like, keep it in there.
Well, Halo 3, if I remember right, didn't have the Flaming Ninja. I had to do something different. It did something with a Spartan helmet. I can't remember exactly what it was. Same concept, but... Because I had the Flaming Ninja in Halo 2, and then in Halo 3, I couldn't duplicate it because they didn't have the pieces. Then, of course, Halo 4 and Halo... Halo 4 and Halo Reach didn't have it either. And then, you know, it shows up in Halo 5. So they actually brought one back.
And that's good. But there's enough memory out there where the classic, what I'm considering the classic is Halo 1, Halo 2, kind of getting into Halo 3. Those icons, unless there's some sensitivity or good PR reason not to include them, should be in the game still, in my opinion.
Yeah. There is one set from Halo 3 that I'm glad didn't return because it could be seen as obscene. It was a certain combination of emblem and colors. And it.
Oh.
I had one of my friends that he used it, and I'm like, why do you have that on? And he thought it was funny. I'm like, what are you, like, two?
Immature is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
You know, I can understand the removal of certain emblems because of stuff like that. Because, you know, that stuff doesn't belong in the games.
Not really.
But, you know, I just lost my train of thought. Damn, where'd it go?
That's okay.
But, yeah, I love the customization of Halo 3. I got a lot of great memories, especially the unlocking that the recon armor. And, you know, granted, yeah, I only wore it once, but it was an accomplishment to unlock it because, you know, it was a grind to get all those achievements done.
I still got a few more to get to. What was, as we start to wrap up here, what was kind of, if you had to pick the one thing that really stood out for you about Halo 3, or maybe the most fun memory that you have of playing Halo 3 back in the 2007 era of Halo? And the that question goes for the chat as well.
The 3 hours it took me to complete the annual achievement. Somebody couldn't keep up with the ghosts.
Oh, jeez.
He shall remain nameless. Luckily, he fell off into a spot that he couldn't die in, so we were able to finish it.
Was his name Beowulf?
No. This was long before I knew of Podtacular.
I think mine has to be, because I think I did. I think I did this for Podtacular, or it was something else. I don't remember exactly, but back in the day, I did campaign run videos, and I also did skull videos and terminal videos for Pod TV back in, I think, 2008. So being able to go through, and I still remember to this day how to get to every skull and terminal. And I played that campaign so freaking much.
Yeah. I could do the terminals. The skulls, on the other hand, there might be one or two I don't remember, but... Yeah, it's one of those deals, I don't remember it until I'm actually in the campaign. I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, the skull's right over there. But, you know, the same thing, you know, you were creating videos. I was taking friends through levels, getting skulls with them. Because, you know, I went through and I found all the skulls. And, of course, you know, then everybody wants, oh, can you help me get this one?
I have to go back and see if I can find those videos. Actually, no, I know where those are. I think if I go... I don't know if they're on the current Podtacular channel on YouTube. Maybe I should re-upload them as just like kind of a flashback. Oh, and this was when I bought my first capture card. It was, what was it? And I think I still have it just for vanity's sake. It was a game something, and it was an SD capture card. It was $20, $20 or $30 from like your General Electronics store, And it got so popular for doing console videos and live streamings that actually a few years later after I bought it, I went to go check the price again. It was $180.
Wow.
Yeah, it got super popular. I don't know if Ace maybe remembers what the capture card was or if he... Because we knew each other kind of during that time, and he's in the chat now. But yeah, I found the Pod TV episodes, and they're all in standard def. I think the audio is a little messed up, but I found them.
Are they still on the channel?
Well, this is my local...
Oh, on your own personal storage?
Yeah. I'll check the YouTube channel now, but it was one of my first things I did for Podtacular, I think, was doing these videos. So that was probably my first, or not my first, my big kind of takeaway, I think, from Halo 3, was doing that for Podtacular.
Looks like the oldest video is 8 years old that's on Podtacular.
Then it would have, if it's 8 years old. News,
yeah, Halo News teaser is what it is.
Oh, jeez. I remember when we tried to do that and then we just kind of fell through. Yeah, so no, it would have been before that. And I think we actually uploaded those to Google Video when Google Video and YouTube were separate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. and I think Google Video just does not exist anymore. Period.
Probably not.
So, yeah, I'll have to re-upload those to YouTube so people can watch them and see myself from 9 years ago.
You sure you want that information out in public?
I mean, it's out there in podcast form. People can find it. So, yeah, no, it's yeah. Oh, and there's the 2012. Yeah, there's some old stuff in here. Back on target. So Ace in here was mentioning My Halo Life, which was a production that was done by a group called Cyberline Films, which I was a part of for a little bit and technically am still a part of. No, it was not the Hopage. And it wasn't Elgato at the time. I'll have to see if I can dig it up.
Well, the first thing I could technically call a capture card that I got was a Hopage TV tuner that had record capabilities.
They're not as popular anymore, I think, now, right? Or they're still kind of out there.
I think they're still out there. I mean, Ever Media is taking over a lot of their market, at least in the TV tuner market.
Okay.
I honestly haven't really checked into them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to see if I can find this capture card from way back when. It was my very first one, and it lasted me a while. It was actually, since I didn't have my own TV at the time, I had a 360 for Halo 3. That's actually how I played Halo, was through my capture card and played it on my laptop. My laptop was my computer screen, or my gaming screen for Halo 3.
Talk about lag. Wow.
No, there was no lag. That was one of the things, that nice thing about that capture card. It was basically instantaneous. Now, the software that you had to run to capture it was like, you know how bad like the cyber power DVD software is? It was like that. But it still worked. I could full screen it and I could play, and there was virtually no lag for that capture card. No, it wasn't the Black Magic. Amazing. It was before that, Ace. Way before that. This was a standard definition capture card. But no, it worked well, and I just played it on my laptop until I got my first TV that I had. Do you remember Circuit City? It was when they were going out of business, and I think their electronics brand was Emerson or something. I can't remember what.
Well, Emerson was a name brand. It was available in multiple locations. Yeah, I actually still have a car stereo that I bought from Circuit City.
The TV I bought, and I actually still have it, it does 720p. It can do 1080p processing, but it's a 720p screen. I bought it for $120.
I don't have my TV from when I was playing original Xbox or 360. Well, 360, yes, because that's my big screen. Wow, that means that big screen is 10 years old. That's not bad.
No. Surprisingly, a lot of that tech is held up, at least.
Because I bought my 360. Well, I bought the big screen shortly before the 360 showed up. But the 360 was on its, it was on order. I hooked up the 360, was watching. I got it before actually Halo 3 had launched. So I downloaded all the, all the videos for Halo 3, and I was sitting on my couch watching the videos on the big screen with the stereo cranked up, and I got about halfway through one of the Landfall videos, and the sound cut out.
Oh no.
My stereo tuner went bzz.
Whoa.
So I'm like, crap. And the Halo 3 launch was still a week away. So I'm scrambling to find a new tuner. And I happened to come across a deal on eBay for a brand new tuner, which I still have today. And that was an expensive year when it came to electronics for me, because I bought the TV, bought the 360, and I bought that stereo.
Yeah, I can imagine that's being an expensive year.
I think in the span of in the span from March to November, I spent about $3,500 just because of that 360. That includes the cost of the 360 too.
I remember back then for me, because I was in college, that was a lot of freaking money.
It's still a lot of freaking money, but yeah, I understand what you mean.
Comparatively, though, with having a job and actually making a steady income, it's like, yeah, it's still a decent amount of money, but it's not like you're gonna die over it if you're gonna be spending that much money.
But my friends thought I was nuts for spending that much money for a video game. Well, I didn't just spend it for the video game. I wanted the big screen anyway.
So, interesting story. And I know I've told this on the podcast, and I know it's a long time ago since I've told this story, but my first ownership of Halo was Halo CE for PC, and I bought that when I was 17, and my parents bought me a laptop for college, so I was able to actually buy the game on my own. And when I actually had the game before I got the laptop, because I knew I was getting the laptop for my birthday. I would stay up every night to play Halo CE. And I actually ran servers back then. A couple servers. That was when the Halo Custom Edition was actually pretty big still. And then in college, my first summer at college, I had a roommate who had an Xbox, so we were playing Halo and Halo 2 almost every night. And I had a couple other friends, once Halo came out, they had 360s and Halo on that, so I played with them, and then using some of the money that I got for Christmas, I bought my own 360, bought Halo 3, and that was the first game I had, and I played the heck out of that sucker. And that the Xbox 360 was the first console I ever owned, and Halo 3 was the first Xbox game I ever owned.
Well, I have to admit that Halo is the reason I went to Xbox.
It's the reason why I'm still on Xbox. Otherwise, I'd probably be on PC.
Well, the deal was, before that, I'd played the original Sony PlayStation, and I wasn't into shooters at all. Matter of fact, I spent most of my time in Gran Turismo. I would sit in front of the screen for hours, running tracks, tuning on cars, just to get them perfect. But yeah, looking back on it, I'm kind of glad, because Halo has introduced me to a lot of good friends. It's given me this opportunity to be on this podcast and, you know, to host the game nights. It's something that I really do appreciate. And Halo 3 probably brought that to the forefront. I mean, it made it, made Halo as much of a household game as it did, you know, because CE and 2, you know, that, don't get me wrong, they did really well, but I think Halo 3 was, you know, is probably still, you know, the pinnacle of the Halo universe as far as overall population and time played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halo 3 is probably responsible for bringing the most amount of players into the universe.
Yeah, and that was partly because it was uncontested. At the time, Halo was still the game to have on Xbox, and now it's so saturated and diverse.
Yeah. Back in the day, don't get me wrong, Halo did have competition, but I should say they had people in the same genre as them. But Halo was so different from everybody else that it drew a lot of people in.
I found the capture card. It's called a game bridge.
A game bridge.
Yes. It's not $180 anymore, but I did find it in on Google. So thank you, Google. It took me a while to actually get it, but yeah. Adaptech ABC 1400 series game bridge.
Wow. Now you gotta see if you can still find drivers for it.
Oh gosh, that's a good point.
See if you can find Windows 10 drivers for it.
Jeez, I don't know if you could. Oh man, well,
see what the newest driver you can find for it is.
I'm gonna look, but for the meantime, I'm gonna post. The only thing I find is it on eBay, so I'm gonna post that in the chat right now. But yeah, it's. Has anyone else in here heard of a game bridge, or is it just me?
No, I can't say that I have.
So yeah, that was basically the thing that turned my laptop into a screen. And the big thing was that you could watch TV on your PC, and you could basically play PlayStation 2, Xbox, and GameCube on your PC. That's what oldest thing is.
Wow.
Yep.
How did my search engine become Amazon?
That's interesting.
I'm going to have to fix that. Yeah, sure enough, Amazon.
The product is supported by embedded drivers that are available on the supported operating system. So I guess just generic drivers.
Huh?
I bet if I plug it into the... I don't know if it'll work with Windows 10 because I know a lot of those older ones are. They don't exactly come up, but if I find it, I'll have to plug it in and just see if it works. Support operating systems: Microsoft Windows 2000 SP4 and Microsoft Windows XP SP2. Wow.
Ooh, I found a Windows 7 driver.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd trust the. Website that they've got it posted on, but hey.
Oh. Oh, there's an archive.org driver thing for it.
That's to list all drivers on your computer. No, I don't need that.
Wow. Anyways, so that's a little look back into my history of playing Halo 3.
Oh my lord, there's a Windows 8 driver.
Where are you seeing this? We've completely derailed. I'm sorry, everybody listening to this, but we're having fun reminiscing into some old memories here.
There you go. I'll put it in the chat.
Okay. Hardwaredata.org. Well, it's a .org site, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a relatively new driver, 9.7 of 17?
That can't be right.
No, that can't be right.
This Windows 7 one says 9.26, which is just today. I think they're just pulling, they're just running a JavaScript to say today or whatever, because that doesn't make sense. Yeah, Ace, that was, That was the one game mode I was actually thinking of when we were talking about customs earlier, was Trash Compactor.
Oh, yeah. Many hours of Trash Compactor.
Yep. And then there were the people that just loved Fat Kid for some reason.
Oh, God, I hated those people.
I hated those people, too. And it's like every other custom mode, I'm joining them like, let's play Fat Kid! I want to play Fat Kid!
It's yeah, like, I leave.
Go play outside. You're 7 years old.
Yeah, I never understood the allure of Fat Kid.
And it was always like the 7-year-olds that wanted to play it. It's like, no, we're adults.
Yeah.
No.
Duck Hunt showed up in Halo 3.
I remade Chiron on Foundry. That was my big Forge project in Halo 3 was Chiron. And there weren't enough teleporters, so I had to use shield doors as some of the barriers.
Yeah, I think in Halo 3, I started to forge... Oh, what was that map? One where you had the two ships faced off.
Boarding action.
Boarding action, yeah. But I never finished it.
There are a few efforts for that, I think, actually. I think we've reminisced a lot.
Yeah.
Halo 3 was a great time in the Halo community. It really was. Machinima was great. The competitive scene was amazing. Community support from the developers and just the thriving community. Everyone was talking to each other. Even though there wasn't clan support in Halo 3, there was still kind of that clan atmosphere in Halo 3. And so many different Halo communities out there. And then we were all close-knit, tight-knit groups. And I miss some of those days.
Yeah.
There are some things that are just not possible anymore because everyone has their own clique or niche or whatever. And there's toxicity in the community. And everyone has their own thing to say or whatever. But there's a lot of things that I just wish we could go back to of simpler times in Halo.
No, most definitely. I miss being able to get on, on a Friday night or a Saturday night and just gather my friends and spend 3-4 hours playing customs.
Me too.
Not caring about the KDE, just having fun.
Not to mention LAN parties, because those were still a thing. But I do say this with the highest regard for Bungie and what 343 has done to try to keep the Halo spirit alive. But Bungie did a wonderful job bringing Halo 3 to life. And when we read through the history of Halo, it was the one title that they really didn't have many issues on.
Yeah, it was the least dramatic of all their titles.
And thankfully, it worked out, and there's a lot of good things that came out of that game, a lot of communities, a lot of friendships. I mean, it was my prime time of actually coming up through Halo, and it was during that time where I actually took over the podcast. I've been doing this podcast since 2008, and Halo had been out for just over a year when I took over this podcast.
Well, let's see, it was the late 13 when I showed up, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. 2012 or 2013. One of the two.
Yeah, it had been like November of 13 because I remember getting a message from Dust. Can you host game night tonight?
Did I really say it that way? Can you host?
I don't remember, but I get this message. I think he sent it to me on Twitter. I'm not sure. Hell, it might even be still in my history because I don't think I ever deleted it.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how far the history goes back, but...
I know Twitter has made so many changes over the past few years, so I don't think they delete them.
But anyway, it's just one little small little comment changes things so much.
Yeah. And you're still here. And I thank you so much for it, because it'd be pretty lonely if I was the only one doing this.
Looks like I only go back to September 5th. Oh, darn.
Well, that sucks.
I wonder how far back notifications go.
Are you doing that through TweetDeck, or are you actually doing that through the Twitter website?
I'm on the actual website.
Oh. That sucks. Dang it, Twitter. You ruined everything. I'm just kidding. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I know there's lots of memories out there, so feel free to share them with us. We'd love to hear memories that everyone of our listeners has regarding Halo 3. And again, if you want to play some of the Halo 3 throwback, that'll likely be taking place this Friday during the game night. It starts at 8:30 p.m., hosted by Godzilla T. And we may even throw a throwback night in there at some point within the next few weeks of actually going on Halo 3 back compat and playing. Although, if we do that, I'll probably actually just whip out my 360 and just play on there. Everyone else can play on back compat.
I might just do the same thing, because my 360 sits right next to my Xbox One. So
same for mine. And I don't have to worry about the upscaling to 1080 and just having that native support there, I think would be cool. So have a look into our game night on Friday if you're interested in getting into the Halo 3 throwback playlist. It's a lot of fun. It does kind of bring back some memories, and they did a pretty good job at matching up the game type settings and mechanics to feel Halo 3 like as much as possible. Granted, there are some things because it's Halo 5 that are a little bit different, but it thankfully does, right? Especially the aiming. But it's a good mix between Halo 3 and Halo 5, and it feels good. At least when I was playing it last night, it feels good. Make sure you check out our other social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, Instagram, and a handful of other ones. If we have it, just go to poddagger.com/whatever it is, and that'll take you right there. We also, over the weekend, completed our 10th company commendation for our Achilles helmet. So thank you everyone for contributing to that. We still have another 21 to go. I have a feeling it's going to be close to Halo 6 launch before we actually get there. But keep on going. We'll get there one of these days.
We'll keep plugging away.
We'll keep going along. So we got our 10th one, which is still a pretty good accomplishment. So everyone that is part of the company should go check your rec packs, and you'll see a company accommodation pack awaiting for you to open it. And we actually do have 5 slots in our Spartan company. So for those of you who are not part of it, you can head on over to poddaggler.com/company. And that will take you straight to the company page over on Halo Waypoint, where you can request to enlist. And then we can accept you. The next accommodation that we have up that is the closest one to being completed is from the top rope, and it is kill an enemy Spartan with a ground pound. We need another 831 of those to complete that commendation. And the very last one, I think, has actually flipped. Yeah, so someone's actually been doing a little bit of work on the killing the driver out of a moving vehicle, because our one at the bottom now is killing Marines.
Confell, you were supposed to be working on that.
I was going to say, I don't know if Keys and Confell have been working on that, but for the Forgot to Pay the Toll, we have another 97 to do to complete level 4 before we hit level 5. And we have a remaining 4 commendations that are still level 4. They are Road Trip, which is killing an enemy Spartan with a ground vehicle. And I think that includes the turrets as well. The Pain Train, which is kill an enemy Spartan with a shoulder bash. We have another 741 of those to get. And then the Forget to Pay the Toll and Sorry Mate for killing Marines. So those are the 4 that are still on level 4, and then everything else is on level 5, with the closest one being from the top, which is kill an enemy Spartan with a ground pound. So keep on working on those. And thank you, Confal, for contributing to the commendations. We really need help with those.
We need all the help we can get.
Yes, we do. Make sure you check out our Xbox Club. as well, you can head on over to podtacular.com/Xbox, and that will take you to the club on the Xbox.com website. And that is where Godzilla T will be placing his Looking for Groups. And that's the new and improved way to actually get involved with the Achieving Halo series, which you heard him a little bit earlier on in the podcast talk about the latest episode that they completed. And which mission was that? That was the 8th mission, right?
It was actually 2 missions. We did
the hub mission,
enemy lines, and then the hub mission before that, which I can't remember the name of right at the top.
Is that Source of St. Helios?
No. Alliance.
Oh, that's right. And then enemy lines was... Oh, you got to jump off and land on the Phaetons from the Kraken, right?
Well, yeah, you climb onto the Phaeton, and then it flies away, and you get the achievement.
Yeah.
Which, that was fun. Amazingly enough, it's really hard to stay on top of a Phaeton. They have to fly really slow, or you just slide right off. And there ain't nothing you can do about it.
Well, all you have to do is jump onto it, right? And then just let it kind of slowly back off as the Kraken falls into the pit.
Well, you know, actually, all you really have to do is get on the Phaeton, and it moves a little bit, and the achievement pops.
Yay!
So, technically, you don't even have to ride the Phaeton off the Kraken. You can just get on it, it moves a little bit, achievement pops, you can get off, jump in a Banshee, and then continue on with the mission. But, of course, that's not the way we did it.
Of course not.
But you'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. So, that video will likely be up, I'm guessing, this weekend-ish?
I hope so.
Okay. I have the artwork ready to go. So make sure you check that out on our YouTube channel when that gets posted. You'll see it be published on Twitter and Facebook when it comes around. So, and if you're not already subscribed, then head on over to our YouTube channel and subscribe, and then you'll be, and then click the little bell icon, and you'll be notified whenever a new video gets put up.
I wonder if you can surf with a mantis.
Huh?
Might have to try that sometime.
Surf with a mantis?
Yeah. What Phantom surf with a mantis.
Oh. That'd be interesting.
I'm thinking vehicle fiesta.
That sounds like something the Mythbusters would have tried. Or should try.
I've seen people do it with Banshees. I don't think I've seen anybody do it with a Phaeton, though.
If someone does that, record a game clip, send it to us. Let us know how that goes. So you can also check us out on our podcast network that we are an affiliate of. It is the podcast.com. That is thepodcast.com. And we are networked with some other fantastic podcasts such as Critzcast, Guardian Radio, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. There are some great other shows that are well produced and have some great talent on them. So you can download them, check them out. If you're interested in their particular games of choice, Critzcast is TF2, Guardian Radio is Destiny, Podcast 76 is Overwatch, and The Learning Cliff is EVE Online. And if you head on over there, let them know that we sent you. Next week, we will talk about the Awakening the Nightmare DLC, which just got released today as of this recording. It is the final DLC that is going to be available for Halo Wars 2, and that also introduces the complete, was it the complete pack? The Halo Wars 2 complete experience? Something like that. Which includes the base game, the season pass, and Awakening the Nightmare. It is available now for, is it $60?
The expansion is $19.99.
Right, but there's the complete package thing, which...
I didn't check on the complete package.
Complete edition is... I'm looking real quick. Yeah, $59.99.
I want a refund.
Yeah, me too.
Well, price you pay for wanting to play the game first.
Yes, it is. So... thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this episode. We will be discussing Awakening the Nightmare. Hopefully, we'll have time to play it this weekend, and we'll be fresh to talk about it next week on the show. Until then, keep on fragging Halo 3.
We'll be right back.